This show would be unlike anything on Christian radio. We both work in the ministry of healing and deliverance. One host is a retired sheriff, while the other is an active fraud investigator, almost 30 years working in fraud investigations. We're on the front line, week in and week out, battling the demonic, witchcraft, Satan, Lucifer, Jezebel. Every week we face these spirits. The Bible teaches us that we have authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. We feel that a lot of the churches aren't teaching this. And how do you battle an enemy that you don't even acknowledge is there? It's your birthright. It's your inheritance. And we want to teach you guys how to fight. Not only to fight, how to win. Tune in.
The Liberation Freedom Ministry Hour of Significant Revelation starts now.
Yeshua, Yeshua, I'ma bless his name. I'ma bless his name. Yeshua, Yeshua, I'ma bless his name. I'ma bless his name. Yeshua, Yeshua, I'ma bless his name. I'ma bless his name. Yeshua, Yeshua, I'ma bless his name. We will bless Yeshua, Yeshua.
Hello, family. Greetings, greetings. This is Pastor Mark, and I am here with Pastor Donnie. How are you, sir?
I am blessed, sir. It's good to hear you. How's everything in Hawaii?
Oh, it is amazing. I don't know if I told you this. I think I told you last time we lived out here, but they have roosters and chickens that just kind of walk around the island, and it's illegal to do anything to them, and the natives don't eat them. There's no snakes here. There's no, like, hawks, so they don't have any national predators. So probably about 3 in the morning, they decide it's time for everybody to get up. But when you live here, you kind of get used to it, so I don't think we hear them that much. But it's amazing, man. You just walk around, there's chickens and roosters and baby chicks all over the place. So it's quite a sight. How's everything in the ATL?
Everything is great. Can't complain. You know, ministry is busy. Life is good. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, sir. We'll ask you to bless us with a prayer. Now, let's just get into the show today and see what God's going to do.
Amen. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, Lord, we thank you for this evening on this radio show. Father, we pray that all listeners will be touched by you. Father, we pray that your anointing will go forth, Father God. Lord, we pray for healing and deliverance. We pray for breakthrough in your people today, Lord. Father, we love you. We bless you. We praise you. Holy Spirit, take control in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We have a great teaching today. Last week, you're going to get into anointing, the anointing, and only touched on it. So we're going to be sure to get into that today and learn. And I think it's a great teaching. I know my bride was looking forward to. But if you have just a couple of minutes, I wanted to just briefly go over something. Something happened during a session. We had a Zoom session the other day, and we were ministering to a young lady, and something came up. So I just wanted to touch on this briefly. Pastor Donnie, in all your years, sir, I guess you're over 30 years old now, from what I understand. Have you ever said anything that you wish you could take back, or has anybody said something to you that hurt you and you wish they just didn't say it? Is that? Can you agree that that happened to you?
Or? Yes, I think we all can basically write a story on that. Things that we probably have said that we would love to have taken back, and things that were said to us that that we preferred they wouldn't have said. Because once you give attentive to that negative word, and then if you start getting into an agreement with that word, then you can, and in a sense, open the door for the enemy to come in. So then it becomes a word curse.
Absolutely. Well, I just want to reach out to some of the listeners that's dealing with anger, and I want to share a couple things. So this young lady we're ministering to, she just realized that she responds too quickly and she can be venomous. And I used to be just like that. So a lot of us were raised with the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, when you work in the ministry of inner healing deliverance, you realize that that's simply not true. Would you agree with that, sir?
Absolutely. The Bible tells us that. The Bible says there's life and death in the power of the tongue. And that is so true. I mean, those are words that a lot of people will say, you know, yeah, the Bible does say that, but it doesn't really mean much. Oh, yes, it does. When you speak negative words on people, it can actually send an assignment for the enemy to make sure that, what you said will manifest in your lives. Your words are very powerful. So that's why we have to be careful what we speak, not over other people, but what you speak over yourself. We need to speak positive and beautiful things about us and good things about us, because that's how God looks at us. You know, what would the Lord say to you? And that's how we have to look at ourselves and not speak these negative, bad things over ourselves.
Amen. I appreciate that. So I wanted to share with the listeners. You know, back in the day, man, I don't think that I initiated much, but I always responded a lot more stringently than the person who initiated the confrontation. That was just kind of my MO. And I was proud of it, because I just believe that you, excuse me, have a right to defend yourself. That's just how I was. But, you know, the Bible even speaks against that, because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So when I was in corporate America, you know, I was an ops manager for a private investigative firm, and probably had 60 people or so. And what I would do is, somebody sent me an email that was unkind, oh, I'd give it back to them, and I just didn't go part of the way. I went all the way in. And then when I start turning and start, you know, trying to live my life differently, well, I started teaching myself not to respond to these emails. If they upset me, I would wait until the next day before I responded. And then many times, after sleeping on it, I didn't even respond. You know, and then, of course, when I start getting closer to God, I just decided that many times I don't respond at all. And there is a scriptural reference, James 1:19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So I think there is a lot of marriages in relationships, issues with siblings and your parents. I think there's a lot of people in jail right now that responded too quickly to things. So I would ask everybody that if you're suffering with that, that you just pray into it and ask God to help you. So during that time when you're silent, if you pray to God and ask Him how to respond, ask the Holy Spirit how to respond to this. Make that your focus and not that person that said or did something to you. We always go back to Ephesians 6:12, and that we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. But I have learned over the years, especially now that I have a much closer walk with Christ, that goes a long way. I mean, that serves you well. And you'll find out that many times, saying nothing is the best response, or saying nothing to the person. Because the Bible says, bless those who curse you. So first of all, we teach ourselves not to respond. Then we teach ourselves, while we're being quiet, that we're actually quiet toward a person, that we're actually praying to God on what He would want your response to be. And then at some point, you just grow and make sure that He's the focus, not the person or not the words that they said, but what God wants is the focus for your direction. And before you know it, life will absolutely positively change. And all of us and the people that's listening, you can now think of multiple scenarios where you just wish the person hadn't said what they said Or in your case, you just, you know what, I should have let that go. I said something, it was hurtful. At that time, I was upset. And that's what the enemy wants us to focus on. The enemy wants us to focus on that time. The enemy wants us to be, as they say, caught up in our feelings rather than focus on what God tells us to do. The focus should always be on what God tells us to do. And when we struggle with that, then we have to work diligently to move toward that end, to move toward to responding the way God would want us to respond. So I thank you for your time, sir, you know, and for the listeners. But it actually came up in a session the other day, and the Lord kind of gave me a few things. I believe the Holy Spirit gave me a few things to tell her, and I just shared, you know, even back to my days about the emails, you know, because, and then on top of that, you know, once it's in writing, it's like it's in stone. So there's even emails I wish I had not sent, but of course I did, and things I had not said, and I did. And like Pastor Donnie said, even to myself, speaking things over myself. So I would just recommend that we pray into that and we move diligently, just not to respond at all, and then seek God for help with the response. Thank you very much, sir. I'm looking forward
absolutely
to hearing your
teaching. Mentioned that you mentioned emails, and I'm glad that you brought that up, because there is a such thing as a written curse too. There's written curses, there's time release curses, there's word curses. But the devil doesn't care which one that it is, because that's why we have to. I really do feel that there are some people that are listening. You spoke some negative words over yourself. For example, I'd never be good like my father, or I'll be just like my father, or I'll be, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough. I'm an idiot, I'm stupid, you know, I'm just not intelligent. So when you speak those negative words over yourself, you send the enemy on an assignment to make sure that what you spoke happened. Because, again, remember, the Word of God says, Proverbs, there's life and death in the power of tongue. And I recall ministering to someone, a man that was in his 60s, mid to late 60s, but he was never in his life able to get ahead in life. And he would have jobs here and there, never was able to own anything for long. He was staying with different people, never wasn't able to get ahead. And the Holy Spirit revealed to me that his mother told him when he was a child that you would never amount to anything and that you're going to be just like your father. And as a kid, he believed that. He loved his father, even though his father in his mother's eyes wasn't a good provider. He was an adulterer and a bunch of other things that she stated that he was. Well, that little kid, when he heard that from his mother, believed that. And so that enemy went in to make sure that he will never amount to anything. And so he had a curse, a word curse, spoken over him by his mother. And now he's in his mid-60s, and he was never been able to get ahead in life. And the Holy Spirit brought it to us that it was because of the words his mother spoke over his life. And we had to literally break that word curse. And as soon as we broke that word curse, there was a violent manifestation of demons. And they were saying that he's mine. His mother gave him to us. His mother gave him to us. This is what these demons are speaking out of him, speaking through him. His mother gave him to us. And that was the assignment to destroy his life. And we had to break that word curse and cast out those demons. So I tell you, your words are very powerful. So we
what about
need to... Yes, sir.
Go ahead, brother. Well, no, please finish, and I'll ask a question. We need to what now?
So we need to make sure that we repent for every word that we have spoken over other people's lives and that was spoken over us. And we need to come out of agreement with those words and cancel the assignment. So three things you must do. You have to repent, come out of agreement with that lie and renounce the assignment from the enemy to make sure that happens. Because you know what? People will say, well, you know what? I didn't know what I was doing. I was young. It doesn't mean anything old. The devil doesn't play fair. You got to remember that one thing. So it's very important that we just repent and just renounce whatever you did, whether it was written or verbal, repent and renounce the assignment. Break all agreements with that. Because we've all either said or maybe something was spoken of us, knowingly or unknowingly. But the devil doesn't play fair. He doesn't care. So that's why it's very vital that we break those word curses. And a lot of us have said negative things just to ourselves. You know, we have to bless ourselves. Speak blessings over yourself. You know, are we perfect? No. Do we make mistakes? Yes. But we are the child of the Most High God. The Bible says that we all sit in heavenly places. So we need to start thinking and believing that God has a purpose for us and that we need to just start speaking good things over ourselves. If you speak negative things over yourself, then you're sending negative spirits towards you, and it's going to be difficult to get ahead in life if you're constantly putting yourself down. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Well, before we get into teaching, let's make sure we, if you don't mind, just walk us through some curse breaking, some word curse breaking prayers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm even getting a name now. There's a listener. Your name is Rachel, and you need to break those word curses that you have spoken over yourself.
Absolutely. Father, and Pastor, excuse me for one second, Pastor Donnie. I also want to just to explain what an inner vow is. And let me give everyone an example. And Pastor Donnie, I'm going to give this an example. And you, if you would, please share with the listeners what I created here. Let's say John Doe. John Doe was hurt by his lady. She cheated with him. And he said, I will never marry another person ever. I will never feel like this again. I will never marry anyone. So when that person says that in a place of hurt, in a place of anguish, what exactly have they created in the supernatural realm, in the spirit realm, in that particular example?
Again, our words are powerful, binding. It's a legal profession. If you were to say that I will never allow another man to hurt me again, I would never allow another woman to come into my heart again. Think about it. Those vows are birthed in pain. They're birthed in hurt. And so what you do, because of the fact that it's birthed in hurt, it is not birthed in love. Yes, I understand. Well, I'm just saying that to protect myself. Well, again, where is it birthed at? It's birthed in your pain. It's birthed in your hurt. And so when you make that profession, Proverbs 18:21, death of life is the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat up its fruits. And so when you make that inner vow, the enemy will make sure that nobody breaks your heart again. You know why? The devil will make sure nobody is in your heart. No one will try to take that love away from you, from feeling love for another person. And that's the inner vow. So these are, because it's birth and hurt. I mean, I understand that. And we've dealt with in our ministry many people that have made inner vows. I would never love again. I would never let a person I would never fall for a person like I did before. They would never take my heart again. So we have to break those inner vows. These are powerful confessions that we make over our lives that are birthed in pain, that are birthed in hurt. You know, and then not only will you allow the enemy to come in when you make those inner vows, you bind your soul to that person. You create an ungodly soul tie. You know, have you ever seen people with hearts, broken hearts, tattoos on their bodies, and they'll have like an arrow going through their heart and
or a knife,
blood, or a knife or blood in that tattoo? That they're expressing their hurt and their pain, and a lot of times those inner valves made through that, and it opens the door demonically is what it does. And this, and it has these vows have to be broken. The Bible says that we'll cast all our cares upon Him. You know, instead of trusting the God, trusting the Lord, and allowing the Lord to heal that part of our soul. And the Lord, I just ask you to heal me, because the Bible says He heals the brokenhearted, and He binds up all their wounds. But instead of allowing the Lord to do that, we're doing it on our own. We're saying, I would never. You know, you're making that vow out of pain and hurt. And when you do that, that's when you open the door for the enemy to come in.
Right. We were ministering to someone, and as I recall, the person said, something's wrong with me. I just can never keep a woman. And as I recall, a demon came up and actually brought that up and said that... he called me to make sure that he never maintains a relationship. And that's not the first time I've heard that. And I imagine you've been doing this for 16 years. It's you've encountered demons that can repeat verbatim what the person said to come within this agreement. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. We have to break all agreements with the enemy and stop claiming this stuff. You know, a lot of people claim things. I had a woman that I was ministering to, and a spirit of fear come up and says, she gave me a right to be here. She said that she was fearful, you know, that I have fear. She kept saying, I have fear. So she wanted me. And that's what the demon said, spoke out of her. And I have a right to be here, so I had to make her repent of all of those words that she said. Now, did she mean that? No. Does the devil play fair? No. So I had to have her renounce those words that I have this, I have that. And speaking of that, we have to quit saying I got this disease and I got that disease, whatever it is. Don't put yourself in the same bed with that sickness. No, you do not have that. You may have been previously diagnosed with that, but don't claim it. Don't say, I have. You know, I would say, you know what, I was previously diagnosed with this, but I believe the Lord's going to heal me. But don't claim any sickness or any fear or this or that that is not of God.
Amen.
Just like with fear and just like with what you're saying with the gentleman with, I could never, I think you said, I could never have a woman.
I can never keep a woman.
I can never keep a woman. Your words, again, your words. We have to be really careful with our words, men and women of God. Amen?
Amen. Well, I know soon we're going to have to break for a station break, so we'll have you walk us through a prayer. You said, and I'll repent it. We'll definitely repent if I've done anything, but repeat it. And all the listeners, please repeat it. And as far as repenting, let me tell y'all something. I repent on something every day, known or unknown sins. I don't want the enemy to have any legal right to operate in my life at all. So it's okay. But you say it, and I'll repeat it, and hopefully the listeners will too.
Amen. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
I renounce every word curse.
I renounce any word curse.
That I've spoken over anyone at any time.
That I've spoken over anyone at any time.
And I now break every word curse.
And I now break every word curse.
That I have spoken over myself.
That I have spoken over myself.
And spoken over me by others.
And I have been spoken over me by others.
I come out of agreement with it.
I come out of agreement with it.
I renounce those words.
I renounce those words.
For I am a child of God.
For I am a child of God.
And I belong to Him.
I belong to him.
I now declare and decree.
I now declare and decree.
That every negative word spoken over my life.
That every negative word spoken over my life.
By myself or others.
By myself or others.
Is now hereby broken.
Is now hereby broken.
And I seal this prayer.
And I seal this prayer.
With the blood of Jesus Christ.
With the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm believing that some people feel something breaking off of them, something that they've been holding on to for a while. They didn't even realize it. You know, we
Amen.
Think.
Yeah, let me say another prayer.
Yeah.
Let me say another prayer, man of God, because we got about a couple of minutes left. So I just want to say a prayer over everyone that's listening. And I'm just going to command the enemy to go. And when you, and when I pray, if you feel something coming up, just let it go in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, I command every spirit that came in through word curses, I command you to go in Jesus' name. We break the yokes of every negative word spoken over the men and women of God that is listening, and we, the people of God, command you to go. Your assignment is now broken. Loose these people in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank the Lord that it's been removed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a big hand. Thank you, Jesus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I think we'll be breaking here shortly for a break. I know we got a couple minutes, but I'll just give a couple of quick testimonies, Pastor Donnie, and then we come back from the break. Please go to the teaching.
Sure.
But I, my bride and I have had the pleasure of the honor of seeing now four people since we've been on the island where God has restored their hearing. And one lady yesterday was legally deaf, and she took out her hearing aids and was actually engaging in a conversation with us. So that was amazing. But it's been four people, and I feel like Holy Spirit said that we ought to pray for a total of six people while we're on the island. He's going to restore their hearing, but it's been amazing. So we're watching God work. And I sent you the video of a young lady who broke her back, and she was actually running in the mall. So God is moving, man. He is just, the Holy Spirit is really working. So we just thank God for his mercy and his grace.
Amen to that, brother. That's beautiful. He's using you.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure. He does all the work. As I tell people, we just pray and have faith and have the front row seat to what he does. But listeners, thank you all for tuning in, and we're going to take a station break. We'll be back shortly.
I'm a bless his name, Yeshua, Yeshua. I'm a bless his name. I'm a bless his name, Yeshua, Yeshua. I'm a bless his name. We will bless Yeshua, Yeshua.
Read Luke 4:18. We want to train the church body to be used by Jesus to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are opposed. Join us on the Liberation Freedom Ministry Hour of Significant Revelation, Mondays at 6:30 p.m. here on Love 860 AM, the Love 860 AM app, iHeartRadio, or on the TuneIn app to hear the truth. Get prepared.
860 AM WAEC Atlanta.
The Liberation Freedom Ministry Hour of Significant Revelation starts now.
Yeshua, Yeshua. I'm gonna bless his name.
Well, welcome back, family. Pastor Donnie, we're all excited here in Aloha State to hear the teaching on the anointing. I understand doing some great, great work there. So I have my pen and pad and ready to learn, sir.
Amen, amen. I also want to say, if any of the listeners out there, if you have any questions about deliverance, please feel free to call us at 443-555-8699. Okay, let me get into this teaching. I'll go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah. And you know what? Just talking here, but listen, we also invite all the listeners out to Liberation Freedom Ministry 3125 Presidential Parkway, Atlanta, Georgia. We have services Tuesdays at 7:15. You know, you guys have heard several people give their testimonies on this show, and Pastor Donnie and I have recapped some of the things that God has allowed us to see and be a part of. But, you know, bona fide miracles, people getting healed and delivered, is just it's something you want to behold on, you know, in person and see for yourself. But we welcome you. As we say, it's a safe place. You know, we don't want you to leave with what you came with, especially if there's any demonic forces. We've been blessed because so many people now are finding us on YouTube and the internet. And we've had people come in from other parts of the country. Right, Pastor Donnie?
Absolutely. We do Skype, Skype appointments, Zoom appointments for those that are different areas of the country and, you know, in other countries. So, and if you believe that you need a spiritual checkup, please reach out to us at 770-335-8973.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord.
He absolutely is. Okay. And the other thing is, usually we would advertise the Bible study, which is Thursdays at 6:30 Eastern Standard Time, Significant Revelation Bible Study. The call number is 515-602-9611. However, I am taking a sabbatical, is what I call it. I didn't know that when I came out here, but I went to Sunday. I went to church, and the pastor started talking about sabbatical, and I'm like, yeah, I think that's what I'm doing. So I wanted to make sure that I maintain time on the radio show and for the listeners and we that have been on the Bible study. I really appreciate your support, and I promise, you know, unless I hear from God not to, we'll be back. But I just really want to take some time, and it's just amazing what God is doing. So anyway, just have a little patience. But thank you also so much for your support. But come on out and see us on Tuesdays, and I'll be back in a few weeks. But if you come before I get there, just introduce yourself. Look for Pastor Donnie. He looks like he's about 35 years old, good looking, rugged guy, and you'll know him right away. He looked like he could be in a magazine or something. That's that guy. Just go up and talk to him. Tell him you heard him on the radio show. Introduce yourself to Pastor Donnie, and God bless you all for listening and for being here. And please come on out and meet with us in person.
You know what? Amen. You said something that was right. You said something that was right. I am a Jesus magazine. I don't know about anybody
else. Yeah. But anyway, Pastor Donnie, you'll know him. He's a very humble servant of God, and he's our head pastor. And he's an awesome guy. But just go up and say hello to any of the ministers there, and just be prepared to see miracles. Just expect it. You know, that's what God wants us to do, have an expectant heart. And he always shows up and shows out. It's just amazing. But thank you, sir. And I'm going to be quiet and listen and learn.
Amen, amen. What I want to talk about tonight is just very simple teaching tonight, but it's something I think we overlook a lot in the ministries, our churches, and especially in our own personal lives. And I want to talk about the anointing. And, you know, I read something that was kind of disturbing to me, but you know what? I have to agree with it. And it says, one of the most frightening comments I've heard is that if the Holy Spirit was taken completely out of the church, think about this. If the Holy Spirit was taken completely out of the church, 90% of the work of the church will go right on as if nothing happened. 90%. So what is that? What am I saying? That the Holy Spirit is not in a lot of the churches. And when I heard this comment that if the Holy Spirit was taken completely out of the church, 90% of the work of the church will go right on as if nothing had happened. What a travesty of what the church is meant to be. The churches, the early churches were meant, and they did in the early churches, is you saw the power of the Holy Spirit move in the church. You saw that. We saw healing. We saw people getting set free from spiritual bondages. You saw a move of God. And I'm not trying to put down churches, but in a lot of churches, there's no move of God, or it's become so traditional that the Holy Spirit is boxed out. But it also could be true in our personal lives. And a lot of Christians, you know, they don't really want to do anything that involves the supernatural God. They just want to just get a little word, hear a couple of songs, and go home on Sundays, and that's it. A lot of Christians don't pray during the week. They don't serve. They just want to just do the basics, and that's it. But that's not, God wants the anointing to be not only in our churches, but in our own personal lives. The Bible tells us in John 10:10 that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have came to give you life and life more abundantly. The anointing destroys the yoke of the enemy. And we as men and women of God, we need the anointing to fight against the works of the devil. And the Bible tells us clearly what the enemy's plans are. But the anointing is what pushes the enemy back. Isaiah 10:27 tells us, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Now, the definition of a yoke, you know, and the yoke is an old wooden cross piece that is fastened over the necks of two animals and attached to a plot, to a plow or a cart, a cart that can be pulled. Or in a lot of countries, a lot of men and women used to carry waters and other heavy items, objects over their necks and their shoulders to carry like water or vegetables or fruits or heavy objects. But the definition of the anointing is simply the power of God that he puts in his vessels. We're, as men and women of God, we're all vessels. So the power of God that he puts in his vessels. The anointing is the Holy Spirit that comes in power to destroy the yoke of the enemy. So the yoke, what is the yoke of your life? What burden are you carrying in your life? What is that yoke that you're carrying right now? Is it anger, we talked about earlier? Is it unforgiveness? Is it bitterness? Is it rage? Is it lust, perversion? Is it confusion, mental sickness? What is that yoke? The Bible says it takes the anointing to break the yoke. The anointing to break the yoke. And God uses people. He the power of God, he puts it in the vessel. But the anointing is rare. It's not as prevalent as it used to be, but I believe it's coming back. The Bible clearly tells us that. But it's given, that the anointing is given with people that God believes that can handle it and not abuse it. That can handle it and not abuse it. What can limit the anointing is pride, doubt, unbelief. Because if you have doubt and unbelief, if you don't believe that the anointing will work, or you don't believe God can use you to heal the people, heal said people, he's doing it, not you, or to break spiritual bondages off of people, if you have that doubt and unbelief, how can God use you? Remember, Jesus couldn't do any, he couldn't do any miracles in his hometown because of the doubt and unbelief. So what are you doing to restrict God's flow? Is it that you don't want to be placed in an area where God uses you. A lot of Christians don't want to operate in the supernatural. A lot of Christians don't want to be around the power of God. They're used to being in their own little world. But that's not how God wants us to be. He wants us to be used. You know what? Pastor Mark, in the book of Acts, in chapter 8, it gives an example of some of the things that can restrict the yoke, restrict us from having the anointing. I'm going to talk about in Acts chapter 8, the sorcerer, which is Acts chapter 8, verse 9. And it says, but there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they had gave heed from the least to greatest, saying, this man is of great power of God. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. You know what? And I'm going to stop there. Right now in this world today, there is so much heavy witchcraft that is being done. And these young people that are doing witchcraft, they're seeing the power of Satan. And it amazes them. They're not seeing, where they're going to churches, they're not seeing any power, but they're seeing the power of Satan. And that's terrible. That's a trick of the enemy. But let me go back to verse 12. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now, Philip teached the word of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed. Now, Simon was a sorcerer. Now, and just here in this scripture, he accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and renounced the witchcraft. And it says, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and the signs which were done. Now, verse 14. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who then they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. They received the power. Verse 18. And when Simon saw, now this is the sorcerer that converted to Christianity. And when Simon saw that through the laying of the apostles' hands and the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power. Also that anyone whom I lay hands on will receive the Holy Spirit. Now, Simon wanted this power of the Holy Spirit, but he wasn't ready to receive it. And Peter told him that in verse 20. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought the gifts of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart, and this is what's important, Pastor Mark, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of your wickedness. So repenting is very important to receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. And pray if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven. So now, you know, he's saying God looks at your heart. And Peter's telling him, for I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Bitterness. You are poisoned by bitterness. How many Christians you know are poisoned by bitterness and unforgiveness? Pastor Mark.
Yes.
And as long as you have that unforgiveness and bitterness, it will restrict the flow of the Holy Spirit operating in you. Peter is telling Simon that your heart is bitter. And you are bound by iniquity. In other words, you are bound by sins of your past. So he said you need deliverance is what Peter is saying. You need to deal with that sin. Break these generational curses. That's why it's important for, I believe, any Christian to go through deliverance so you can get rid of the sins of your ancestors, get rid of the past iniquity, and make sure you're not walking in unforgiveness and bitterness. Bitterness is the same as unforgiveness, and anger is all under the umbrella of unforgiveness. Because you have to have unforgiveness in order to be bitter. Mm. And Peter says your heart is not right. So your heart has to be right for the anointing to flow. For the anointing to destroy the yoke of the enemy. Because God anoints us for others. It's not for you, but it's for others. The anointing removes the yoke. And a lot of people will say, well, I want the anointing. I want to be able to be used by God. Well, there are some people, Pastor Martin, that don't want to be used by God. They're happy in their comfort zone. But God wants to, you know, wants to anoint us even in our personal lives. I'm going to use you as an example, you and your wife. In your personal life, God uses you to minister to people, to pray for people, even while you're on vacation in Hawaii. And people are being touched by you or touched by the Holy Spirit. People are getting healed, delivered. So even in your personal life, when you tell a person, a spiritual person, that I pray for this person near here, to us, it's natural to see that. But for people that do not operate in the supernatural, they see that as a phenomenon or, wow, how could God use you to do that, you know? But to a spiritual person, this is natural. We're at home. This is what we do. We're used to it. And I don't say that properly. I say that humbly because this is what we're all supposed to do. God wants to anoint us to do all of these things. You know, in our personal lives, you know, to pray. It's not just for the church. It's not just for healing and deliverance. The anointing is powerful. The anointing can destroy the works of enemy. Destroys your infirmity, mental sickness, anger, poverty, confusion, witchcraft, Pastor Mark, which is so prevailing in this world today. The anointing is needed to break the yoke of witchcraft.
Amen. Again, Pastor Donnie, this is a great teaching. Let me jump in here. When you were talking earlier about a yoke, I believe Holy Spirit told me that there is are some listeners that they're dealing with the yoke of worry. My apostle, one of my mentors said, listen, if you're going to worry, don't pray. And if you're going to pray, don't worry. Because when you worry, and I would ask those listeners just to Google scriptures about worry. But anytime you worry, that's proven that you're not fully believing that God can handle it. Because worry is one of the tools of the enemy, because you're focusing on the problem, not the fact that God is going to resolve the problem. So people will say, let go and let God. But sometimes we say that and we really don't mean it. We're not owning that. Because if we let go and let God, we give it to God, we just walk away from it. Let me give you ask you a question, Pastor Donnie. Your mom, your aunt, somebody in your family, you love their cooking, and there's a particular dish that you love. You have an example of a particular dish that you love, sir?
Yes, sir, I do. Apple pie.
Okay, apple pie. Who does it? Your mom, your aunt? Who's cooking it?
I'm using my mother.
Okay. All right, so you know if you count on your mom to make the apple pie, it's going to turn out perfect. Well, you can agree with that, right?
Yes.
Okay, so what happened in the kitchen, and you telling her how much flour to use, how much sugar to use, how much salt to use, how long to bake it, are you trusting that she's going to do it right, or are you involving yourself? See, and what happens, exactly, and when we involve ourselves in what God is to do, it does not turn out right. But if we just trust him, and you've heard me say before, and on the Bible study, Lord, I'm looking at this mountain. I don't know how you're going to climb it, but I know you're going to climb it. I'm looking at this problem. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know you're going to do it. I'm getting my hands off of it, and I'm getting out of the kitchen. You measure what you want. You know what I'm saying, Pastor Donnie? Your mom, grew up in the South. She could take two pinches of sugar and she don't have to measure anything. She just knows what time to mix it in and how much to use. Well, that's what God does. It's just that we got too many people in the kitchen, or they say too many cooks in the kitchen. Man, let him drive. Just get in the passenger seat and just let him drive. Put your seatbelt on and then watch him work. So I don't know who that's for, but when you worry about it, when you worry about things, the enemy is getting a legal right there. He's getting his foot, a foothold. That's what I'm looking for. Because anytime you worry, what you're telling God is, man, I'm concerned that you're really going to do this. So just take your hands off of it and let God be God. And the other thing you talked about, you know, you mentioned comfort zone. And I often say that the Christian comfort zone is the most dangerous place to be. See, the Bible tells us that the Bible tells us that we are to renew our mind. And renew is perpetual. That means is you never stop learning. It's just that sometimes we get to the point where we think we know it all, and that's where the enemy lives with you. Once you feel like you got it, man, it's so much to learn. Man, every time I study, I'm hearing, you know, I might read Matthew four times, man, and every time I, you know, next time I read it, God reveals something different to me or at a different level. Renew your mind. Be perpetual. Continue to want to grow. Get outside of the Christian comfort zone. If the Bible is telling you, not Pastor Mark and Pastor Donnie, if the Bible is saying, lay hands on the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, and raise the dead. These are not suggestions. These are instructions. And if your church is not doing it, you want to find out why. Again, we're not putting down anybody's churches. We're saying go back to the Word and do what the Word says. Do what Jesus did. And this is what Jesus is instructing us to do. Jesus said that we will do works even greater than him because he goes to the Father. This is what Jesus said. So if Jesus laid hand on the blind and they saw, or deaf and they heard, then this is what we are to do. This is part of our inheritance. It's part of our birthright as believers. It's just that, unfortunately, the Christian comfort zone, as you said, you know, people see this stuff and they think it's a phenomenon. They're like, wow, when this is exactly what we're supposed to be doing. Every single thing that we're talking about is what we're supposed to be doing, and you can back it up. Don't take our word for it. Fact check. Look at your word. But anyway, I'm going to be quiet. Sir, that's a great teaching. But the person that's worrying, today's the first day of the rest of your life. Say, I'm not going to worry anymore. I'm not going to worry anymore because it gives God the wrong impression. And it gives the devil a legal right to continue to have you even worry even more. You know, if you're used to saying, man, I don't know how I'm going to pay this bill, or I don't think we're going to make it, and that could pass it down, he said, with the negative words that you speak over yourself. No. Change that to, man, I don't know how God's going to pay this bill, but I just trust him. And then just walk away from it. Get out of the kitchen. Do not give him any salt. Do not give him any sugar. Don't give him any honey. Just get out. Just sit at the table and wait for the apple pie to come to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm being quiet now, sir. Thank you.
Amen, amen. You know what? I'm glad you continue with that. That brings a good point, because I'm hearing fear. There's a lot of people that are operating in fear. They're not trusting the Lord. The Lord wants you to trust his word. God moves when you trust him and believe in him. He is not moved by tears. He's moved by faith. God is moved by faith, and he wants us to trust him and believe him. He is a supernatural God. He is the Lord of Lords, King of Kings. He is God, and he wants us to trust him. But you're right. There's so many of us that are worrying and not trusting the Lord. And God is saying that he wants us to trust him, wants us to believe him. And not because the Bible says he did not give us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. We have to trust him in this season. We, especially in these dark times, we have to trust the Lord. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, man of God. Great teaching. And I just appreciate all the listeners being here. We pray that we said something or you guys heard something today that resonates in your heart. We, again, invite you to come to church tomorrow. Liberation Freedom Ministry, 3125 Presidential Parkway, Atlanta, Georgia. Liberationfreedomministry.com. Go and take a look at our website, our YouTube channel, Liberation Freedom Ministries. Take a look at our YouTube channel. You'll see us. You'll see people getting healed, giving their testimonies. We actually have some sessions that we tape where demons are being casted out of people. There's great teaching. There's a lot of tools that you can download and listen and learn from, and we're just so glad. Pastor Donnie, tell them once again how they can reach you to make an appointment to have a one-on-one session via Skype,
Amen.
Zoom, WhatsApp, iPhone, you name it, we're going to do it. Go right ahead, pass it down.
All right, yes. Just call our ministry number, 770-335-8973, or go to our website at www.liberationfreedomministry.com. And I want you to see a power of the Holy Spirit, see the anointing flowing. That's what it's all about. We're an Acts church. And we believe in deliverance and healing, and we believe in the power of God. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Listeners, stay out of the kitchen. Let God be God. He knows what he's doing.
Amen.
God bless.
God bless you guys.
I'm going to bless his name, Yeshua, Yeshua. I'm going to bless his name, we will bless Yeshua, Yeshua. I'm going to bless his name, I'm going to bless his name, Yeshua, Yeshua. I'm going to bless his name.